Cortana, start the podcast.
Playing Palette Swap Ninja.
Jimmy just left the mall. They had no games at all. He stopped by to play Daytona USA. The arcade closed its doors back in 2004. In just a few years, the coin ops disappeared. He was gonna own an arcade. He was gonna rent a space. He was gonna get some neon to illuminate the place.
It's Wednesday, February 18th, 2015. I'm your host, Cyber Knight. Mossfly is joining me tonight. Hey, Mossfly.
Hey, buddy. How's it going?
Doing good. How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good.
So what you been playing lately?
Buddy, I'm really digging this Wolfenstein. It's surprised me quite a lot. I didn't hear very good things about the last version, so I was iffy if I was going to pick that up. But this version went on sale, and I'm so glad I actually picked it up. It's got an actually pretty intriguing story, where the Nazis actually end up winning World War II, and B.J. Blazkowicz wakes up in 1960 and realizes that there are Nazis everywhere. And I don't know. Bethesda did a very nice job on crafting an interesting story out of a, should we say, a generic class early 90s shooter. It's been a fun ride so far.
I am intrigued based on what you've been saying, so I'm going to have to keep my eyes open for this one.
I would say it's if it goes on sale, if you can find it on the discount rack at GameStop or something, it's definitely worth a play. It's fairly well voice acted, it's got some stealth elements that I didn't really expect, like a Wolfenstein game to have, but they're done really nicely. And then when you get bored with that, it's still Wolfenstein, so you can still go in guns blazing. It has a dual wield aspect, which they could have left that out, but it still kind of makes you feel like a badass. So. I could go about it, but it is kind of fun. It's really difficult to aim in dual wheel mode, but that's why I'm saying they could have left it out. But
Fair enough. Alternate
timeline and the little news clippings you can pick up all over the world are definitely worth a gander. So, yeah, pretty happy with that one.
Yeah.
Other than that, I did just pick up Dead or Alive 5 Last Round.
Yes.
It's a very controversial game, but I have loved it ever since playing four-player co-op, or I guess it's two-player co-op, but couch co-op with four people on that, oh, man, that brings back so many memories. And to this day, it's the only game where my sister can consistently kick my butt. So she loves playing that with me.
Nice.
And now I have the ability to record features and then upload them to SkyDrive and email her the link in San Francisco. So that was the first thing I did last night, was I loaded up her favorite character and my favorite character. Her favorite character played by the AI on Easy, and me just going to town on her favorite character. So that was a good time.
So you dropped the challenge that way.
I did. She's going to have to pick up an Xbox One to challenge me back, so we'll see how long that takes.
Awesome.
Also, it did actually incorporate the KI pricing model. So I think you can actually pick up the Core Fighter Pack, if I'm getting that name right, for free, where mm-hmm. it gives you a few characters, and then you can purchase other characters. Being the diehard DOA fan that I am, I opted to just get the full-on character pack, which is $40, which it's another one of those Xbox re-releases, because DOA 5 did come out at the end of the life cycle of the 360. Well, I guess the 360 is not dead yet, but it came out late last year, right before the Xbox One got released. So it is another remastering, but
right.
I did pick it up. I have run into one issue, though. They do have a quick match system where if you're in fighting the computer, other people can challenge you online at the same time. Every time someone's challenged me and I've ignored it, the game has crashed.
Ooh.
So I turned that feature off, and it has never crashed on me since. But let's hope that's not status quo. Because that was a little annoying. So I'll have to eventually turn that feature back on if I ever want to play with anybody and see if it happens. But, yeah, it is what it is, I guess. I found a way around it, but it kind of disables that drop-in, drop-out online fighting system. So,
right.
But
yeah,
there's a free one to try it out.
Yeah, it's on my list of things to try out. You can get the free version, which has four characters, my favorite, Kasumi, also Ayane, Ryu, and Hayate. And then the Core Fighters Pack, you can buy and get four more on top of that. And then you can get, it's on sale now, actually, the Core Fighters Pack for $5 as opposed to 10 if you want to get that now. And then the additional characters, you can buy them one at a time for like $4 each. Or like you're saying, just buy the whole thing outright. And there's like 20 some characters in the full game. So
there are a lot of characters than I ever remember there being in the Dead Alive series. But
yes, and then of course they've got the costume packs that you can get to.
Yes,
to
which are
that.
on top of the $40. I think the Kasumi costume pack itself is $19.
Oh,
which. That was kind of my reaction. I think, like, just individual costumes you can buy as well, but I think they're like $2 a costume, too. I mean, you do get a ton of costumes right out of the box.
Right.
But my ADD kind of kicks in because you just got a bunch of blank icons that say have not been downloaded yet. It doesn't say have not been purchased yet. But that's basically what they're telling you.
Right.
And it does, one more thing, it does kind of nag you every time you load it. It says, check out the DLC in the store. And it's a fairly substantial box down in the corner.
Mm.
I was wishing that would go away. It hasn't yet, even though I've loaded the Xbox store. Being that it's free to play, they're probably trying to entice you to go buy all the stuff. But being that I spent $40 on it, I wish the thing would go away.
Yeah, I can understand that. Yeah, I'm definitely tempted to get that. I'm not very good at fighting games. I'm very much the button masher.
So that's the glory of DOA, right? I've never been a big Killer Instinct fan or a Mortal Kombat fan, but DOA, you can just kind of pick up. You can learn the moves, but you can still have a real fun time just doing the rock, paper, scissors kind of fighting that they do with their blocking and countering and kicking.
Oh, definitely.
So that's probably also why my sister always wins.
Plus, the girls look really good. But anyway.
They have toned them down quite a bit since...
have they?
The DOA 2 days when the boom physics was all the rage, and man, those things were bouncy. They're still bouncy, not quite as bad.
Not kind of moving under their own power kind of bouncy this time?
Sometimes they do, but it's not as noticeable as the Dreamcast where they were just like, she's standing still. Why are they still going in a circle? So, what have you been playing, buddy?
Well, a lot of Halo boosting sessions. I'm really trying to get these multiplayer achievements done because I feel like I'm making progress, which is good, and I want to make sure I get them done in case they happen to patch the loophole that gets us into the matchmaking using the party invite. But I don't know. Given 343's track record on that, any hopes that they'll patch any one particular bug is kind of a crapshoot at this point. There is another big patch that's supposed to be coming. They were going to do like a public beta of it, and then they decided, no, you know, it's going to take us longer to distribute the beta and get information back than it is just to test it internally. But then again, the testing internally is kind of what got them into this mess in the first place. So I don't know what to think anymore. I really don't. But besides that, you know, they're having this big sale on all kinds of crap right now. And Kinect Sports Rivals is actually on sale for $10, which I can't pass up. That's, you know, something my kids like to get into too. And my oldest son and I are kind of big into Doctor Who. We like watching it, although we get it on Netflix, so we're about a year behind everybody else. And when I told him that Kinect Sports Rivals came out, he's like, oh, okay, whatever. And there's a narrator that kind of guides you. Yeah, okay, whatever. And it's voiced by David Tennant. Oh, really? So that got his interest in. So he was looking forward to creating his own character and scanning it in and having Doctor Who kind of lead him through that. Which, yeah, I went through it last night and started it up, and it kind of scans you and makes an avatar version of you.
Yep.
And I came out kind of looking like Mr. Incredible. I don't know what that means, but like, am I really that fat? Maybe I am. I don't know. Yeah, the before the workout, Mr. Incredible. I should mm-hmm. clarify. Yeah. So that's pretty much all I've been doing, and I've been scheduling boosting sessions all over True Achievements, trying to get people to join me in my addiction. And it's been going fairly well so far. I've got three or four achievements left in the matchmaking area that I need to get taken care of. So. But these achievements still annoy me. One of the ones in particular is the Roadkill Rampage, which is in Halo 2 Anniversary. So Anniversary maps only. You have to get like 100 splatters or 200 splatter medals, which wouldn't be so bad if it actually, you know, cycled in maps with vehicles in the Halo 2 Anniversary playlist. And you don't get vehicles on it very often. Yeah.
There's a few ghosts, but other than that.
Yeah, there's like three maps that it's good for. It's Zanzibar or Stonetown, I guess it's called now, Zenith, if you can get the Banshee and run people over, and the Blood Gulch remake, and is that all of them? I think that might be all of them. But yeah, and in the one playlist that is only Halo 2 Anniversary, those maps aren't included.
So, nice.
Yeah.
That makes it so much easier.
Yeah, seriously. And then the other one that annoys me is the King of the Hill one, because nobody votes for King of the Hill. You get into matchmaking, everybody votes for Slayer or SWAT, and King of the Hill doesn't come up very often. So get these big grindy achievements on things that don't even give you a chance to do them very often. Not impressed with the way 343 has been handling this at all.
By the way, you just made me spend $10, so thanks.
Yay, somebody else I can declare as my rival online. I saw that my nephew had played it, so I'm like, ooh, I can play a bowling match against him. And I don't know if it used his previous experience or it was just random, but his character was really, really bad. I don't know if that's indicative of how he plays at all, or if it's just the computer did a very poor job of playing for him, but that was kind of fun.
That sale just kind of came out of nowhere earlier this week, and it really surprised me. I mean, a lot of those games I already had, but if you didn't have a lot of them, I mean, there's a Forza bundle. Watch Dogs is on there for like half off, I think, and Destiny's on there. I mean, it's a good list.
Not too many. The Activision games didn't go on sale for very much, I noticed. Call of Duty and Destiny, they're on sale, but not for very much. In fact, you can pick up the disc version of Destiny off of Amazon for $30. Instead of the $40 that they're selling it on Live, so.
Well, when has that Live ever got the sale right? Right, so.
Yeah, I know. So, news for this week. Upload Studio has a huge overhaul. It's all new now. So, creating your upload clips. You can now have a clip of like up to 15 different segments in it with a total length of up to 30 minutes. And there are transitions, there are green screen effects, there are splash screens, there are text screens, title cards, all kinds of stuff to give it a real kind of professional look to it.
Yeah, it definitely confused me when I tried to upload that clip to SkyDrive. I was like, wait, what? Hold on, what happened here? But yeah, it's a nice update. I'll give them that. That's a big improvement.
Yeah.
On how Upload Studio was handled before. So.
Yeah, it's very nice.
It gives you your individual progress bars between rendering and uploading versus one complete circle, which was weird before to me. It's like, yeah, I'm done rendering. Oh, but I'm only halfway done with the circle. It's like, why? Okay. Now it's just a progress bar. Makes me feel a lot better. Yes, that's my OCD, but whatever.
And what I'd like to see, and I don't know if it's changed or not because I haven't uploaded a clip yet, but if you upload to SkyDrive, there's actually, or OneDrive, excuse me, there are two upload steps. And that second half of the circle is actually split in half again. It just doesn't show you. But you can kind of see it if you watch it. It goes at kind of one speed when it gets to that halfway point, and then it's a different speed for the rest of it, and it's just the uploading to the two different services.
Yep. So those are actually split out now, too. It says uploading, or I think it says uploading to upload. It sounds redundant. But there are definitely two different bars. It says upload, and then it says OneDrive. I did notice that. And the upload to upload goes a lot faster than the upload to SkyDrive. But I have a feeling that's just because of the back end stuff going on. So
that's interesting, because I have the opposite experience.
Oh, have you?
Well, no, actually, you know, I can't be sure of that, because I don't know which half of that
circle it never tells you
is the OneDrive and which half is the upload, which is still a stupid name for that service. What do you call it? Clips or video or I don't know, Xbox clips or something. Upload just sounds wrong, because you go to upload to download clips and watch them.
So upload and upload studio have just never made sense to me. I'm going to go to upload. No, I meant studio. I mean, okay.
Yeah. It's Microsoft naming conventions. You can never figure them out.
You shouldn't try to. The only one they've ever got right is Cortana. But.
Yeah. Amen. So let's see. Oh, I touched on the Ultimate Game Sale. So, yeah, it's there. There's been some rumor. It's The Verge is reporting from, quote, sources familiar with Microsoft's plans. So, you know, people that are supposedly on the inside, maybe. But they're not going to tell us who. Anyway, they're saying that the Build conference coming up in April is going to have a lot of details around programming for the XBone, including the ability to finally turn your retail XBone into a dev kit, if you're into that.
The number one promise that they made pretty much day one, didn't they?
They did. They were promising that before it was launched, that, yeah, developers will be able to use an off-the-shelf Xbox as a dev kit and not have to spend thousands for dev kits. And we've been waiting for that. I don't know if there'll be any advantage to end users like us for turning on dev kit status. But
I know right now if you have a dev kit, you can actually do beta app testing. When the Plex app first came out, it came out to anyone that had a dev kit to do actual beta feedback for. So I'm assuming, I don't know what the dev kit would do to your box if you turned your box into a dev kit, but I do know it unlocks the ability to run beta versions of apps.
In the article, it talked about it being a dev kit switch, like switching your console to be a dev kit, which made me wonder, is it something that is completely separate from a retail kit? Like once you switch it to a dev kit, you can only do certain things with it. And if you want to play up on Xbox Live, you have to switch it back or how that works. But I suppose we'll learn more about that coming soon. But
yeah, build's coming up pretty quick. So hopefully we'll hear more about that. The other part of that article that excited me to no end is background.
Yes.
Apps being able to run in the background, a.k.a. Xbox Music, a.k.a.
Yep.
Pandora, a.k.a. Spotify, whatever. Just background music, something we had on the 360 for God knows how long. Please let me unsnap Xbox Music.
Yep, that will be a welcome addition, I'm sure. So, yeah, there's that. There is a demo of Scream Ride that is now available. Also, the game is available for pre-order and pre-download. It's going to be released on March 3rd. So that's on my to-do list to download and play with that and see if that's worth getting. I've heard from the people who have played it that it's a lot of crazy fun, smashing roller coasters into buildings and such. So I'm looking forward to trying that out and see what it's like.
Smashing cars and burnout was fun. Smashing roller coasters, maybe as fun, hopefully.
Yeah, well, demos available, free to try. No excuse not to, right? Reminder with the Games with Gold, we're now in the second half of February, so on the 360, Sniper Elite V2 is available for purchase for free,
And on the Xbone, iDarb is still the free game of the month, which is still absolutely crazy chaotic. And I still am hesitant to expose my kids to that because, you know, chaos and boys and don't know if I need more chaos in my life, but I don't know. Maybe they'll get a kick out of it. So a couple more games are coming to the Xbone from the 360. These are free-to-play games. Happy Wars will be coming to the Xbone in spring of 2015. That's according to their Twitter feed. And also coming to the Xbone sometime, we don't have a date yet, but is World of Tanks, which has a lot of interesting features in this one, is that you'll be able to play cross-platform with people on the 360. And nice. Any progress that you've made on the 360 carries over to the one. And if you make more progress on the one and go back to the 360, that'll carry back and you can kind of go back and forth and, you know, play on whatever console you want. And just, and it's all tied to the same account.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
I'm excited about this cross-platform play that they're starting to actually do now with the Fable and with World of Tanks. So they're lying to us when they said the 360 and the one couldn't intercommunicate, but whatever.
Yeah, and then Fable's will be between the Xbone and the PC, which they've done before, but just hasn't really taken off. So, but that could be because of the particular game. I don't know. That was Shadowrun back a few years ago that you could play on the 360 and on the PC and play with and against people. And I thought it was a neat feature. I was just surprised and kind of disappointed that it didn't catch on more than that.
Yeah. We'll have to see. Everyone seems to want it, but we'll have to see if everyone actually wants it or just complains that they want it.
Right. So a little Assassin's Creed news. It's been plagued with problems since launch. The Initiates service has never really been enabled, and even today still, if you try to go to their webpage, you just get an error message. And but they've had some, you know, interaction with the companion app, and they've decided to just kind of do away with that now, so that any of the companion chests that would unlock if you played on the companion app, they're releasing a patch to just unlock them all for everybody. So you no longer have to go to this companion app on the phone or a tablet to unlock the chests.
Sorry, Cyber.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised by that one because, you know, that was a feature that actually works. And, you know, I have the companion app on the phone and I play it at work. And it takes like 5 minutes to go through and send the assassins out on missions. And then I check on it hours later to see what happened. So I never had a problem with it. But yeah, if they want to unlock everything, then I guess I won't complain too much. Yeah, I do like the companion app. It's, if you haven't tried it, it'll do a real-time map of Paris as you're running around it, and it'll track you, and you can set waypoints on your tablet and have it pop up in the game.
Oh, nice.
It seems pretty well done, which is why it just really surprised me that they were saying, no need it anymore. But, okay. Because that was actually a feature that worked. Okay, so one last piece of news this just came out. I saw it just before the show went live. Is Major Nelson has posted the March preview for the Xbone dashboard, and lots of nifty features in this thing. Screenshots will be coming in this update, so you can double tap your guide button and press Y to take a screenshot, or say Xbox, take a screenshot. Screenshots will be included in the upload studio so that you can put screenshots into a clip. You can also view the screenshots in Upload, the app where you download everything. And from there, you can actually take a screenshot and say, set this as my background. So you set that as your dashboard desktop background thing.
Nice. Did they mention anything about what we talked about last time, where you could take screenshots from game recorded clips?
No, perhaps? They didn't. No.
Oh, fools.
And
all right.
Yes,
anyways.
I think that's the thing that it needs. Like we talked about last time, is you're gonna want to take a picture of something you just saw.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily something you're looking at right now and can double tap and press Y real quick.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to use this as an example. There is actually an achievement in Dead or Alive to take a picture in photo mode. I took so many quick, and that's, you're in photo mode, so you're watching the two fighters fight.
Mm-hmm.
I pushed that X button so many times to get a shot that I actually liked, because I wanted one that looked cool. I hit that button so many times, and that was all I was trying to do. I wasn't playing a game, saw something cool, and then took the screenshot. I was waiting for something cool, and then hit the button. And it still took me 6 or 7 times to actually go, nope, that was a good freeze frame. There we go. So, yeah. At least now I can take the picture from Dead or Alive, make it a picture with the Xbox, and then use it as background.
Yep.
How's that sound?
That sounds like something that would get me in big trouble really quick.
Why do you have that picture on there? What does she have that I don't have?
Anti-gravity, apparently.
Don't answer that, yeah.
So, let's see, also coming in, on the dashboard, the tile transparency, there's a, there'll be a new slider to set the level of transparency to make things more or less transparent.
They must have gotten no feedback on that then.
Yep. That was kind of a no-brainer, though. Do you want this extra option? Gee.
Yeah, right?
Please, give me options. Suggested friends will be a new feature, and this is something that's in the Windows 10 Xbox app that they're bringing now to the Xbox itself, is it'll suggest friends to you, and this will be from, like, friends of friends or people that are following you that you haven't followed back yet, or people you've played with recently. So just one of those little things that, you know, try to expand your horizons, I guess. There'll be new settings for sharing your real name. You now have an option for just share my real name with all my friends, so you don't have to turn each friend on or off individually if you so desire. Mm-hmm. You can even share your name publicly to anybody if you so desire.
Nice. So there's a share to favorites, or just a share to friends in public?
There is select friends, no one, with all your friends. So it doesn't say all,
okay.
Just favorites, which favorites would be a good option if that was in there. But
that's what I would prefer. But maybe the next round. Maybe yeah. They'll ask for feedback. And we can say, give us more options.
There you go. See, there is new addition to privacy and online safety settings for sharing voice search data. I guess you can turn that off. Like a lot of these services, they'll collect data to try to improve it. And if that makes you nervous, you can have it not do that anymore. There is a new report spam button on the messages.
Thank you.
Yes.
I've always just been saying spam and then putting it down as voice communication because that was the closest option you could get. So
why is it when you're reporting somebody, there's not an option for a text message?
Yep.
Especially considering you don't have voice messages on the X-Bone, which we had on the 360 and don't know why we don't have that yet. So people can send you text messages. This seems like something that could get abused that you'd want to report, and there wasn't an option for that. Why? I don't know. But yes, so you've probably seen a lot of these spam messages saying, hey, I don't really do this a lot, but I signed up for this and won a free PS3. Sure you did. Or the, hey, go here, this site gives out loans to gamers. Yeah, there's a market for that, right? But yeah, now you can report those messages as spam, which will be nice.
But all these people have a good reputation. Isn't that a good thing?
Who? And that's another thing. Who doesn't have a good reputation? I haven't come across anybody yet that shows up as anything but good.
Yeah, at least on the 360, there was very rare that you'd run into someone with less than like 3 stars, but it happened from time to time. I don't know if I've ever seen anyone that said not good.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah, it's all been just good. And
it's all good. It's all good on the Xbox, man. It's all good.
Yeah, and there's no option there for liking somebody or giving them positive feedback. So
yeah,
I don't know how you would go above good. And
there's
seen
space. There's always room for improvement.
Oh, yeah.
There's that little
plenty
black
of room
space.
In that little half circle. Plenty of room. So, yeah, that's about it for news for this week. So, hyper gripe, I want to gripe. I want to get on my soapbox because I'm still seeing this, you know, a year and a half later after the X-Bone has launched, is people online, and maybe that's my problem as I'm hanging out in forums online, saying that the only reason the Xbox doesn't have a lot of cool features like they promised way back at E3 before it launched was because of all the ignorant people who were butthurt over their policies and thought it was going to be a bad thing. The reason I was against it was not because I was ignorant of what it was. It's because I knew darn well what it was, and I did not want them to control whether I could trade or loan or rent or buy used. And that is exactly what was going to happen. And that is why I was against it. Not because I didn't know what it was, but because I knew exactly what it was. And it still annoys me that people say, oh, the only reason you didn't know is because the only reason you were against it because you didn't know what it was, or you didn't know about all the cool stuff.
I do miss the family sharing feature, but I mean, you can always set another console as your home console, and that semi gets around that. But
yeah, I'm still very skeptical that family sharing feature was going to work like they said it was, or if we'd even get it. I mean, for one thing, I don't see why they couldn't put it in now, because, you know, a digital download, they still maintain the rights to. You know, they still can control that and could have you share it if you wanted to. You wouldn't be able to do it with disc games. I'm okay with accepting that. But why couldn't they give that to the people who want to go all digital? I don't see any reason why they couldn't.
I have a feeling it will come within the Xbox One's lifetime, but it's just not there right now. Especially, hey, Xbox, stop that.
And they even said when they were saying this was a feature that it wasn't something that was going to be there at launch, which means they still had to develop it. And look at over the past year and a half, all the development they've done, and this feature hasn't been in it. I don't know, and I don't know if we'll ever have a definitive answer of, you know, how much of this backpedaling on their policies caused them to do a lot of rework and push a lot of features back. Like, if they didn't have to do some of these things, would they have gotten to this feature sooner? Or if it would have taken just as long? But
There's no doubt in my mind that it delayed them. But look, they said they were going to get the dev kit option out, and that took them a year. So it delayed them. How far it delayed them, I think they pretty much caught up with all their stuff. So, you know, it is what it is. What I think would be interesting is if they would come out with the streaming service that they've been showing off from time to time, like Halo streaming to the phone or whatever. That could be a way to kind of re-enable some of this family sharing stuff or something like that. Getting a service like that implemented. I mean, PlayStation has it, so they've got their PlayStation Now stuff. Something like that would be a requested feature for the future from me.
Yep. And it's been kicked around as an idea for the backwards compatibility that one of those would be really nice to have. You know, if I could put one of my 360 discs into my Xbox One and, okay, it can't play it natively, but it could say, go contact Microsoft's server and say, he's got this disc, stream me this game, and then be able to play it that way. I don't know if that's technically possible the way things are set up, but it would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm not sure how those discs would detect if you put them in the Xbox One, but other than that, that'd be a great idea. However, they wouldn't have gotten an extra $40 out of me for Daryl i5. So,
fair point.
And I did my griping about the costumes, so that's my gripe for the day. I would like to, however, throw out a little bit of hype for this Turtle Beach Amigo 2, which is the audio adapter that I'm using to overcome my buzzing issues from last week, and hopefully it sounds a lot better than last week. So,
it's been sounding good so far.
All right.
So very cool.
Good on you, Turtle Beach. Nicely done.
All right. So that'll be it for this week. You can follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/geezercast. Email address is geezercast@geezergamers.com, and we're on the forums at geezergamers.com. Till next week, it's Cyber Night. See you online.